You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you beautiful people and in the 24 time zones on planet Earth. Welcome to the funnest, funkiest, and most pleasurable podcast today, The Real Short Box. Let me introduce to you my three co-hosts and co-conspirators.
That's first, Sean. There's Showtime.
Hold on a second. We got to do this the right way.
Oh, okay.
The man from Ohio, a young man who for some reason was voted the sexiest man of North Hollywood, California.
That is true. I was voted sexiest man, but only because no one else applied for the position.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
So you won by default.
I won by default.
Well, congratulations to you. We call him the original Donald.
Thank you.
Next, we go to a man of high class, high sophistication, and one of the hardest working men in show business. He is a man simply known as Raphael. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well.
It's showtime.
Showtime. And then, of course, last but not least, we go to a man who speaks very few words, a man of high intellect, a man of high character.
Where's he at?
He is simply known as the sensational one. Nowruz Mubarak to you, my brother. How are you doing, sir?
Yo.
Wow.
Hey, and this is Kevin over here, guys.
Yeah, just so you know, there's four of us.
Yeah.
Kevin only says there's three.
Yeah, he always does that. And then he's like, and last but not least. Yeah. And then he's like, and now least. Yeah. And I was like, no. What? No.
I didn't say that.
Well, it's
implied?
Implied, yes.
Oh, come
sir.
On. Come
well, Kevin's
on.
Always wondering if he's actually supposed to be staying for the actual.
You have imposter syndrome. That's what you have.
Imposter syndrome?
Yes. Yeah. You're like, what? I don't know if I should be here. Do I deserve the podcast? Yes, you have a voice.
So wait a minute, it's kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
You don't have anybody. Somebody invading your body? I don't know about.
Am I one of the pod people? Is that what you're trying to
you
say?
You might be.
Hey,
you definitely something.
Your body, your voice, bro.
Hey, so we're going to talk about some comic shops. Basically, what we were talking about earlier was like first impressions when you walk into a shop. What you think about certain layouts of shops and what kind of a shop do you look for when you go to a comic shop? Let's say, for example, like for me,
right.
I took a road trip and Showtime, I'm sure you can attest to this. You take a road trip and you look on your phone, you Google and you're like, okay, well, what shops am I going to go to? And you look at the pictures and you're like, okay, that one looks really fancy. Like that just looks like it's more toys. I see some dirty boxes there. That looks like they might have some books, some good books or something. And then you choose according to, like, a lot of times pictures or even word of mouth, you know? So it varies per person, though.
I very rarely will look at – I mean, it's cool to look at the reviews, but at the same time, everyone's review is based on what they were looking for.
Right.
So I do look at pictures of what's in the store and then based on what am I really looking for? Am I looking to dig through boxes? I'm looking for a back issue place. If I'm looking to just some new books that just came out, I'm looking for a newer place. And I'm looking to be able to pick up multiple things, comics and toys and other stuff. Then I'm looking for a store that has, you know, everything in there. So I think, as Donald said, when you go on a road trip, even if you're not going for comic book based things, you're going for a totally different thing. You always try to look for one shop, maybe two shops in the area that you might want to stop at. So you don't want to waste your time and stop at a shop that you get there and you're there for 20 minutes and realize, I'm not finding anything. So you look it up so you know that you hit the shop that you know for a fact is going to keep you there for a little bit getting stuff you might want.
You know, one thing that's very important when you walk into a new shop and with a first impression is how are the people that work there? Do they greet you? Do they give you good customer service? Or do they give you a warm welcome? And are they willing to assist you with your needs?
Yeah, I mean, a warm welcome is always handy. But don't get too warm. You know what I mean? Like, don't follow me around.
Yeah.
Well, come on now. Some of us are used to that.
I had a really bad experience. Not at a comic shop, but at a crystal shop in Hollywood recently.
Oh,
This guy followed me around the entire shop. And then after 5 minutes of me being in the shop, asked me to leave. Because
wow.
He said it was obvious I wasn't going to buy anything and I needed to make room for other people.
How can he read your mind?
So that was a little too intense.
How can he read your mind? How would he know that you weren't going to buy anything? How can he possibly know?
Well, to be fair to the guy, Donald wasn't really going to buy anything.
No, I do buy crystals.
He does buy crystals.
I know, but yeah. You were going to buy from that guy.
No, well, he didn't have anything priced. That's the only thing. I don't like to go
So up. He's a comic book shop.
Oh! He's a certain comic book shop. I will tell you, if I go to a comic book shop and I don't see prices on things, 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to ask. I'll probably just leave because I'll just assume that it's – I don't want that awkward thing of, oh, that's way too high. I'm saying, oh, okay, thank you for – you know, what about this one? What about this one? You know, and then like you'll go there and a guy will be like, oh, just pick out a stack of books and then I'll price it for you. And this has happened to me many times. And I'll bring a stack up and I'm like, okay, give me prices on these. And he pulls out the guide. You know what I mean? Like, and he'd be like, all right, let's see what we have. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't have time to sit here and help you do your job. Like, this should have been done a long time ago. That's on you. I don't want any of this.
What really bugs me more is that you go up there and you pull a stack of books. You walk up to the counter with a good stack of books, right? And you put on the counter, what are you doing for these? And then he basically starts to price them. And then sometimes, every now and again, you'll get a guy who gives you a pretty good price. And sometimes, most of the time, you're getting a bad price. But then when you leave, because you don't take those books, those become his wall books. Because he's like, there's something about these books that he's pulling. This is the reason why. Yeah. So it sucks because, you know, yes, you can't price every book in your store. It's too hard to keep up with prices if you have 55,000 books in your store. What I'm saying is, as a comic book shop owner, you should be able to look at a book and determine quickly, is this a $5 book? Is this a dollar book? Is this a $10 book? Is this a book that could be a key that I need to look up? And I don't mind you looking up the one or two books that may be a little more expensive.
Not everything.
But I, when you come in, when you talk to me, I look at books and go, $5, $2, $5, $2, $5, $2, and then go, here's three books that I may have to look at because these books might have gone up. And I look at those three books. But the guy who sits there and is pricing a book that's going to end up being $4, so I'm waiting 20 minutes to price a $4 book, to me, is a waste of time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And time is precious. Time is money.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% correct. But to me, it's not really always a time because you're there for a reason. But what I think is that, you know, if you gave me the six books at $3 a piece, I'm more likely going to buy the two other books at a higher price than if you're trying to charge me, you're trying to squeeze me for the extra dollar out of every other book, then I'd be like, you know what, I don't want anything. But if you give me those four books at really cheap prices and this one's 25, 35 bucks, I'm more likely to buy that book because I'm getting a deal on everything else.
Plus, you'll come back again.
Well, that's possible. Sean?
Yeah, I've gone to stores that are like that. One was pretty frustrating. The one that used to be around was very, very frustrating. But it's not always the case sometimes, but store owners especially, you know, you talked about, you know, being greeted and all that. I think that's a good thing that the old 90s model of metal crotchety guy is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got younger people now, people who are more focused on the customer experience, whether they have, you know, back issues or new issues or they sell only pops or whatever. You know, I think that's one of the good things. And having those back issues, though, definitely helps deal with a lot of bad stores.
But think about this. When you look up, like, say, for instance, we recently went to Vegas, right? And
I didn't go with you.
Well, you didn't go, but we went.
Did and you go?
No, I didn't go.
Did you go?
Sorry for you guys.
None of us were invited.
So I looked up.
Just saying.
And I saw, you know, I saw five stores. I saw 10 stores in the Vegas area. Two we already been to.
Torpedo?
Yeah. I looked at, we've been to Torpedo. So two we already have been to. So I wasn't going to look at those. And the other eight we hadn't been to. But I started to look at the pictures. And one seemed like it was more toys. One was basically new comics. And there was about six that had back issues. So from the pictures, you can't tell customer service. You have no idea when you walk in there. Are you getting greeted? So that part you find out once you've entered the store. But when you look at the store, sometimes you look at the presentation of the pictures, what they're showing, that determines, oh, they have back issues. That's what I'm looking for. I'm going to that store. Then when you get there, you walk in. Are you greeted? Is the guy open to come around the counter, find books you may want? Is he open to negotiating on prices to get you a better deal? Mm-hmm. Or is he that guy who goes, hey, man, the price is on the book. That's what the price is. And, you know what? To his credit, he's probably paying a mortgage. He's probably paying his bills on that those books. So I understand where he's got to stick to his guns to get his price. So you can't always be upset with the guy who's sticking to his price.
But it's also about how they tell you no.
Correct. Yeah, so I look at it this way. You know, when you go into a shop, you're open to determine whether you want to spend the money or not, right? No one's forcing you to buy a book at a high, at too high of a price. You go to like Mile High in Denver. Their prices are really high.
Sky High.
But
Mile High.
Sky, yes. Sky.
Sometimes.
But when it comes to books, they have them. If you can't find it there, you can't find it.
That's right.
So their thing is, look, you've been looking forever, but we have it here. Our prices are higher than that, but we have it and you can't get anywhere else. So I get why they're trying to price higher. And they're a name.
They're like a Costco warehouse full right. of books.
And they're a name, right? Versus we went to that place in Vegas, and Donald's been to that place before, where it's a swap meet, and the guy has two booths at a swap meet, and his books are reasonably priced, and he's got a lot of good books.
Yeah.
But he promises you, he's great customer service, talks to you and tells you he's going to do this for you. But then once you've left the store and you reach back to him, he's not responding to your emails. He's not calling you back because he's got too much to do. So I understand that you provide customers when that person's in there, but the customer service extends far past that in terms of how you answer the phone call, the callback, the email.
I agree.
You know.
Right. And do not underestimate the power of sentimentality.
That's true.
For example, my comic shop guy, and I know everybody says this, but he legitimately was the Simpsons comic shop nerd guy. And God rest his soul, he's passed on.
Mm.
But he was crotchety. His name was Mitch. And he was, you know, the ponytail. He had red hair. You know, he had a little beard going for him.
He wore the flip-flops?
He was, no, he didn't do that. But, you know, he would play the Grateful Dead and stuff in the shop and whatever. And you go in there and you would ask for something and he'd point, you know, oh, it might be over there or it might be over there. And they relied heavily on pools. And they charged. They charged an annual fee. Or a one-time fee, if I recall. It was $10. It was a lifetime fee. And they would pull your books from then on. Which, you know, as a kid, I was like, well, that's a lot of money. But my dad was like, that's fair. So my dad paid it and I got my books pulled. So I come out, you know, flash forward. I'm 26 years old, you know, and that shop had closed down like a year before I left. And at that point, I was like I was driving 45 minutes north to find like any shop that I could pick up books from. And that's how, you know, it was a 45 minute just one way. So it's what, an hour and a half round trip for me to go get my books. So it was a lot. So I would do it like once a month. And then when it came time, I was like, oh, I'm moving to LA. I decided to move out to LA. And I started looking at shops, you know, as one would do. You don't need a place to stay or a job. Mm-hmm. You just need to know where your local comic shop is going to be. So I go to a couple of them in the valley. And the first one I went to, the guy was on the phone, didn't acknowledge me, but was having an argument with somebody else on the phone. And he kept throwing out these F-bombs. And to me, that's like super off-putting. So I didn't buy anything. I stayed for a few minutes and I left and I went down the street. Not far from there was another shop. And when I went in, the dude was on his laptop, but he looked up and he's like, oh, hey, you're new here. You know, he recognized that he didn't recognize me. And I said, yeah, I just moved here, you know, from out of town and stuff. He's like, oh, what's your name? And I told him, he's like, okay, gotcha. And then, you know, when I asked for stuff, he got up and actually he did help me. But like moving forward, then once he knew me, he just stayed behind the counter because he knew I knew where stuff was at. But the second time I came in then, he knew my name. And that blew me away. Like, blew me away. I was like, wow, this guy took the time to remember, like, how? He just remembered who I was. And I stayed with that shop through two owners until it completely died, closed, and I helped close it up. That's how loyal I was to that car.
We still have the same shop that James Gunn also.
That's yeah, same shot. Yeah, James Gunn went there too. In fact, James Gunn was talking about when he was filming, I think it was Guardians of the Galaxy, when he came back to pick up his books and the shop was closed. He was like devastated. He made a big post about it and everything, how sad he was about his local shop not being open anymore. He actually filmed.
It's for, that's his, for Super.
Yeah, Super, part of Super. Mm-hmm. And the comic shop scenes were at that shop.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times, you know, when you frequent a place very often, you're going to a comic book shop, you know, once a week, once every other week, and you're going there very often, you know, you have a tendency to not only the comic book shop owner, and not just the workers, but frequent shoppers. You run into people that you become friends with. You're going through the bins or you're picking up books off the wall. And I was like, hey, that's a pretty cool book. What do you think of it? And you start to have a conversation. And you start to see that same person that Wednesday, that Tuesday, or, you know, back in the day it was Tuesday. But you would see him and then you start to talk to him, and then that's how you, and you become friends. But it all works through the shop. I've been through comic book shops where you walk in, it's more like a liquor store. You walk in there, you grab what you want, you pay at the counter, and you walk right out. There is no conversation. There's no room to talk to anybody. And then you go to a shop where you walk in the door and there's a place to sit. There's something it's going cheers. On. They're talking to you.
Everyone knows your name.
Yeah. I mean, they're having conversations with people about an upcoming book or whatever. And it becomes more of a hangout where you can meet people at the same time. And I think, you know, every comic book shop's a little different. You know, you're always off-putted by when a comic book shop's in a mall. Because you're like, well, how good could it be? It's in a mall, right? It's got to be like a retail store. And you go in there, it's kind of retail storage. Or the giant comic book shop that's in a warehouse area. It's just a giant warehouse. It's cold. It's dingy.
You couldn't find it at first. Right. You know, you're like, where is this place?
There's back issues in there, but they've probably been there for many, many moons. And
that happened in Ireland, actually. Yeah. I went to a shop. I called because I found the number and stuff. And I was like, where are you? And they're like, oh, we moved. Oh, cool. I'm at your old location. It's not updated. Oh, okay. You know, and there's an Irish accent, of course, when they're saying it. Hey, okay, whatever. Well, we're just up the street, you know. And I was like, okay. So I, like, literally, I'm on the phone with him. And I was like, I can't find you. And he's like, you know what? Hold on. And he comes out onto the street. And he's waving like this, waving me. I know you people can't see, but he's waving ecstatically for me to go into the shop. And I finally, I see him waving, and I run up there, and I'm like, oh, thank you so much. He's like, yeah. He said, I'm sorry. He said, it's hard to give directions based upon that location because it was deep inside of like a mall area, like an outdoor mini mall area. And then you had to go around the block and up the hill. So you can't see it from down below because the hill's so large. So we got up to the top. And then we go in, and I felt so bad because there was not one thing I wanted there because it was a space that was all about trades and toys,
yeah,
like statues and stuff too. And I was like, man, I'm traveling. So yeah, I was like, I just wanted a couple books or like small books, comic books, actual comic books that I could put in a, you know, in a little sleeve or something to take with me. I don't have space for trades. I don't have space for figures or statues or anything. But I was like, I love that you went out of your way for me. And I was like, I really appreciate that, and I'll remember that. And I do, you know, still to this day. I remember that shop. I remember where it's located.
And did he cuss you out in Gaelic after that?
No. No, they were very kind.
You know what makes
a comic... They really should have just told you to follow the rainbow.
You know what makes a... What makes a comic book shop also really well is that... And I found this... So when we were in Vegas, went to this place called... I'm going to try this. It was... Kid Alien or something like that to nature, right? And we went in there and we looked around, and he had just opened the shop. Like, he said he's had it for like 15 months. And the majority of the books that were in there were his own personal collection. So we looked through it, and it wasn't a lot of stuff that we were looking for, but there were some decent books. Julio got a friend of mine bought a Voltron number one when we were there. Ooh. So we were talking to him, and he says, hey, but if you're looking for a really good place with a lot of good back issues, you got to try this one. And he told us the name. And it was already on the list of books of a shop that I was already going to try to go to, but I had five other shops. So when he said that, I was like, we'll just go to that one. And we went over there, and we found a bunch of books there. So I like the fact when an owner isn't afraid to direct someone somewhere else thinking, I'm going to lose a sale. I'm going to direct them to this shop, and they may end up only going there from now on. So by directing them, I'm losing a sale. So I'm going to not tell them about anything. Those guys, I don't think I enjoy so much. Because, you know, at the same time, no one's ever going to have everything.
No.
So even though that shop directed me to the other place, there's no reason why I wouldn't go to the first place just to check to see if you got anything new that I might want. And then if I find it, I buy it. If I don't find it, I go to the other shop. So I think a comic book shop has to be open enough to be able to say, hey, you're looking for that Funko Pop. You're looking for that comic book. You're looking for that trade. I don't have that.
Go to Joe's comic shop down the street.
Yeah. You know, and... comic book shops on the same block, in the same city, in the same, you know, region, the same area, shouldn't compete with each other, because there's enough people buying books where you could pretty much be okay. There's no reason to compete. If
it's a brotherhood of hobby.
Well, I found that people now are. When I was a kid, I always figured it was only one shop you go to. Right, it's your shop.
Golden Apple.
Yeah, well, for me it was Golden Apple.
For us, when most of us were like, Giles grew up somewhere else, but me and you grew up.
Grackle Flint Comics. Mm-hmm. Wizard. That was the name of it. Believe I like Golden it Apple, yeah. or not.
Wizard Comics for me in New York.
There you go.
You had that place.
Anyway, when I grew up, it was you know.
You guys are all like Christine, the Apple. You know,
yeah, got the Hollywood.
The Apple was one of the. I mean, was the shop that I had to walk by every day on my way to school. Right, that's where you. I mean, most. I honestly tell you the truth. My first ever comic book I ever bought my first book was either a newsstand or a 7-Eleven. That's where I got my first comics. You go into 7-Eleven to fucking spin a rack and you buy your comics off of there. And
when Little I went to Professor Bookstore, I think for me when I was a kid,
when I went to the comic book store, you know how like
E. Dalton,
you play video games at home, right? And then you went to your first arcade and you're like, "Fuck, this is amazing." It was the same thing. Is you go to the liquor store with my mom while she was getting milk or groceries. Or whatever, I would buy a comic book off the rack, Spider-Man off the rack. When I finally went to Golden Apple for my first time, was like going to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Like there was so many comic books and statues and all kinds of stuff. It's a good experience.
So much about the original owner, the gentleman.
Yeah, Bill.
I heard about that.
Let me ask you, gents. When you first went into the 7-Eleven, went into your local bookstore or wherever, when you got your first comic, did you think in your head, like, I'm gonna do this forever?
No,
you know, did you?
I pulled it off the spinner rack, folded it in half. Oh, I paid for it first, of course.
Right.
I pulled it off the spinner rack. My mom paid for it. I folded it. I stuck it in my back pocket.
Old school. That's what kids would do.
Got on my fucking cheap ass, you know, Huffy bike and rode off into the sunset or whatever. But and I would buy books, you know, here and there, and you know, I remember I was like 12 years old. There was always talk about the digital comic book, right? Even before digital books became digital, before phones and computers.
CD-ROM comic books.
They were talking about you know, remember
well,
that?
Remember, what was it, that book, that Batman book that's all digital?
Remember Big?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the movie Big?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where he made that thing where you would buy it and you could load any comic book you wanted?
Yeah.
That was always what you would see people would talk about. And you never thought about you were going to be a collector. And nowadays, when they talk about digital comic books, you're saying, no, leave the fuck alone. We want our hard copy, floppy book, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was a kid, the first comics I ever got confused the hell out of me because I never read a comic book before. So I didn't understand what the storyline, there was no explanation what's happening. But I got into comic books on a permanent basis because my parents wanted me and my brother to read. We would draw.
Yeah.
You know, we would draw all the time. We watched cartoons and all that. But we would not read. And I still didn't read much, but I read them. And I got a little, once I started picking them up more regularly, I understood, oh, this is why this is happening. And that's what the numbers and all that mean.
Right. Yeah.
So for me, one of my earlier points was that I think when I was younger, if a book sold out, I didn't think to go around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it's like a revelation, like, oh, I can go to another store if the book sold out.
But I can tell you this right now. Back when I was collecting when I was a kid, and you went into your comic book shop, right? Well, of course, for me, like it says, the Apple. You go into an Apple, and you'd say, you walk in, and, you know, when I was collecting at first, it was only Amazing Spider-Man. It was Peter Parker. I think it was like three different Spider-Mans. Yeah. And I was getting Batman and Spider-Man. And I walked in there, and they were out of Spider-Man, whatever issue I was looking for. And I'd be like bummed because, like Sean said, I didn't know whether it was a second, third shop. I may have stopped at 7-Eleven, but I was bummed. But back in those days, and I don't know why I can't do it now, but back in those days, he would say, what are you trying to get? I'm looking for, you know, Spider-Man, you know, 77, and you're out. Yeah. Oh, can you come back next week? I sure can. I'll have one for you. And you'd go on your way, and you'd come in next week, and he would say, hey, you're the one that was looking for Spider-Man 77, right? Yeah, here you go. Huh. And they would, because they could either get it from their distributor, or they had it in the back, whatever it was, but they were able to get you another copy. Right. Nowadays, when a book sells out, if you're not going to go driving around town to find that book, you're just not going to get it.
Yeah. You get it on eBay and overpay.
Or but the set, overpay now they have the second books. Print and third print and fourth print and fifth print. And sixth print. But what I'm saying is it seems to me like distribution might have been a little better, easier back then than nowadays. And probably the cost of printing on newsprint was – it wasn't as expensive, maybe.
Well, because the newsprint was cheaper, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally cheap-ass paper. You look through any of those books, even in the 90s, you look through the books, and they've got those little holes at the bottom and the little cut, you know, the little jaggedy edges and shit inside the book.
It still amazes me that they have marble chipping almost on ASM 300.
Yeah.
You know, it's not literally the same marble chipping as Silver Age, but it's not too far off.
How many of you guys ever got a book from a comic shop and signed up for mail away? To have them books delivered directly to your house.
Absolutely.
It was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, I never got any mail.
Yeah.
And my parents would get mail. It was so
exciting getting mail.
I never got a package or anything.
I got mail.
And my mom would call and say, there's something for you.
Yeah.
And I would be like, this is the greatest. Now, of course, that fucking mailman would fold it in half, but I was so excited.
Same here. But you don't understand. Having the same name as your father. And so many times being told you had mail and then being disappointed because it's your dad's.
Or vice versa.
Freaking awful.
Or vice versa.
I could never get away with anything. So, when I got older and I was like, oh, I could order this adult magazine, and have it just shipped discreetly. Nope, because it's coming in the same damn name as my dad.
Yeah. But I remember,
I didn't order this Playboy.
Right, yeah.
You were getting Playboy.
Or he just keeps it. Or he just keeps it. But I remember ordering.
Wow.
I remember ordering
none of them could compare to me though.
Well, I remember ordering at first you would order just the one book and you'd get the one Spider-Man issue, and it would be later than you would see at the Apple, right? Because it would come later. But then eventually you'd get like three or four books. They would come three or four books, and then you would nowadays we could, I mean, how often do you guys read your book right away? Sometimes I wait 3 issues before I read mine. But in those days, as soon as it came in, I'm right to my room. I'm reading the comic book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think there's one book right now that's out that I got to read it the day it drops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old enough now where I have too much to do. But back then, yeah, I was super stoked. I was like, man, I got to get my fix, my soup. Go ahead and make fun of me. My Superman fix. I have to get my Superman fix.
Back in the day, it was a pretty good, decent read.
It was the death of Superman tie-ins and all that. And I was like, what's going to happen?
They did a good job with it.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
I like the fact that, the stories were a little bit longer. In a sense, what I meant is that how many times when you were a kid did you give a shit who wrote it, who was drawing them? You didn't really care as much. You were just reading the comic book. And as you got older, you started to look at the artist. Who's the artist? It's Romita, whoever it is. Or you look at who's the writer, right? And as you get older and older, then you start to look. A book comes out by a certain writer. And I like the way he's writing stories, so I'm going to buy one.
I like the cut of his jib.
Mm-hmm.
I like the tip of his quill.
I bet you do, Sunshine.
Yeah. And, I don't know. I think
Mr. Playboys.
That's right.
I think the comic book world is everyone talks about the world of comics going away, but I think it's the comic book shop that can keep the books going. Because if you're a good owner who can,
it's community.
Have a good community in your shop, get people excited about something new is coming out, get artists to come into your shop to do a signing, to get people that are interested in what they're doing, then the more they buy, the more they're going to distribute and print, the more it's going to keep going forward.
Every Wednesday at that shop that the guy knew my name and stuff, when the new owner took over, I got really close friends with that guy. And his name is Mike. And every Wednesday, I would stop at Trader Joe's. I'd pick up a salad and a carrot juice. And then I would text him. I'd be like, do you need anything? And he'd be like, oh, no, I'm good. I ordered pizza or whatever. And I would go over to the shop then, and I would join him for dinner. And I'd have my salad and my carrot juice, and he'd have his pizza or his lasagna or whatever he ordered that was brought to him. And we'd just sit there and hang out, and even
build a relationship.
Yeah, and then other people would come in, and as they came in, I'd be like, hey, how are you, Mark? And we'd hang out for a few minutes. He'd talk, update us on the week, how it went, and then he would leave. And then other new people would come in, and I'd be like, oh, Mike would be like still eating. And I'd be like, oh, I got this, and I'd get up and I'd go and I'd pull some books or whatever for him to help him out and stuff. So I felt like part of something, part of this community, part of the people that came in. it was so nice to be a part of that, particularly if, and it might not be so much with smaller towns, but like in bigger cities, when you first move out to a bigger city or like you're first starting out in a bigger city, period, you don't know people. And going to a local comic shop is kind of like going to a bar, but not being drunk. You know, like you run into all these people. You have a like-minded thought process. Mm-hmm. You can discuss things.
It's debate. A social gathering.
Yes, it's exactly the Cheers of comic shops. You know? That's what you want.
That's why there's a difference between what I call a comic store and a comic shop. A comic store is a retail place where you just come, buy whatever you want, and you walk out. A comic shop is like a community. Where you don't just come to buy, you come to see who's there, who am I going to run into, who am I going to hang out with, who am I going to talk to, and then you buy books. You also buy some books. Mm-hmm. You pick up your pulls. You see Kevin. You see Donald. You see so and so. You talk about what's up and coming. What are we doing? Who's going to this con? Who's going to this this show? And that's what a shop is. It's like it's a community. And a comic store, it's more like a retail environment where. And I don't want to seem cold on this situation, but like Torpedo's building these comic stores inside malls, and it's more of they sell pops, they sell toys, you walk in there.
I think of it more as a 7-Eleven.
You grab what you need, you go to the counter, you pay, and you walk out. Where in a comic book shop, you grab a couple books, you go to the front, you ask the guy, and the guy says, tries to give you a deal to keep you coming back.
I know what we need: Slurpee machine.
In here?
Yes. Sold. Done. Let's do it. Kevin, can we have $500? Yeah,
and then $500? And then what's going to happen is that day the guy dropped his soda on the floor.
It'd be everywhere. It'd be slurping all over. I'd be like, I take it back. I don't want the Slurpee.
Don't you have to get a license from the city to have a Slurpee?
No.
Not if they don't have
a license from this.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But I can tell you right now, there are a lot of comic shops and out in the world that you can go to, you can do a lot. You can make a decision on whether you want that to be your comic book shop. What I'm telling you is go out and go into a shop. Talk to the owner. He may not be a guy who's really approachable until you actually approach the owner. Walk up, say hello. Talk to him.
Give the owner a hug.
No, just say hello.
No, I don't think you should do that immediately.
And if after you've been there once or twice and you get the same cold shoulder, then you might choose to go back.
Fuck off me.
But give it a try.
When you see Donald at the comic shop, please approach him for a hug.
I am a hugger, though. That's the thing. I don't care. Give me a hug.
That'd be so funny.
Let me know you're going to give me a hug. Don't sneak up behind me and try to hug me.
Give him some non-consensual hugs.
I've been to prison. It gets awkward real fast. No, but seriously, I mean, go to what shop you like. Go to what shop makes you feel like warm and fuzzy, gives you that sentimentality.
When you walk in, you just smile.
Yeah, go to a shop that makes you smile. Go to a shop that challenges you. Go to a shop that has what you want or can get what you want.
Is this a relationship?
Well, it actually is a relationship.
It's both, sir.
It's both. It is a relationship.
Yes, it's symbiotic.
And remember, if you're not going into a shop and you're not buying from a shop, the shop doesn't make any money. It doesn't buy books. Then books aren't ordered. Books aren't printed. The comic hobby goes away.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you can buy online all you want.
It's not the same.
It's legitimately not. That feeling that you'll get, it just won't be there. I mean, you'll get the mail, but it's not, you're not developing a relationship.
It's similar to the old video stores, that I miss, or music stores.
You're not wrong.
They're relationships. You would come and, hey, what do you recommend this week? Oh, I know you're into this. Why don't you check this out? And chances are you'll listen. Okay. Yeah, and then you're like, oh, wow.
I try my hardest every week. Like, I'll get a small amount of books from the shop. And I'll take them home, and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to read these. And I'll read, over the weekend, anywhere from 4 to 8 books, usually. And then the next week when I'm in, I'll be like, hey, before these get put away, this is what I recommend. This book, this book, this book, this book, this book. And you know, 9 times out of 10, I can sell somebody on the book just based on the story or my excitement with it. But it's a double-edged sword, because if I don't like the book, I'm going to tell them straight up, I don't like this book. I think this story's trash. If you like this, this, and this, you might like it, but it does, it, there's no, there's a disconnect between the story and the art or something like that. You know, it just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. So I do my best to try to swerve people into that direction of getting what they want. And I feel like any good comic shop should do that. So, you know, I when you're trying out new shops, be open to new experiences, be open to somebody warming up to you, just like in anything else. Like in kindergarten, there were some kids I didn't like right away, but over time, I warmed up to them. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. You just, sometimes everybody's different. They respond differently to different stimuluses. You just have to take your time with people and accept that not everybody is going to react the same way you do or interact the same way you do. But definitely support your local comic shop. Do your research. If you're traveling, you're out and about, look up, Google local comic shops. Stop by, say hello. We just had some people in from Canada. It was yesterday, I believe.
Yeah,
super. Yeah, super nice. They didn't say the A part, but super nice. Was talking about, you know, his kids weren't into books really. They were all sitting on the couch on their
phone.
Remember
last week, the he was looking for books. His kids were doing Godzilla comics.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and we got then an invite. He gave us a card for a free admission to the Magic Castle, which just because you took the time to help them, and I took the time to read the little kid's comic and to talk to him about his characters and the villains that he created.
You gave him some notes?
I did. Honestly, I did. Yeah. I told him, I said, is this the villain?
He said, yes, that's the villain.
And I said,
a better arc.
What's his name? He told me his name. I said, put his name in a little box above it. I said, so we know his name. And he's like, oh, that's a good idea. And the dad was like, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, just try. You never know. He could be the future artist that we never knew, or the future writer that we needed on certain books. And you need to cultivate that.
Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, or it could be the next Dr. Rob Liefeld, yes. But I think that's going to do us for today. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen to this. Please support your local comic shop. Support several local comic shops if you can. Just, you know, spread the love around. But thank you for tuning in. You can find us on what platforms, Kevin?
You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Apple. You can find us on Google, Stitcher, Spreaker, and many, many other platforms.
Yeah, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it, we are on it. And if we're not, reach out to us and let us know, and we will get on that platform for you.
And also, let us thank our wonderful sponsors.
Yeah, yeah, we want to thank Splattered Frog Brewing. Go to splatteredfrog.com, look them up, type in the coupon code SHORTBOX, save 20% off your order, or go to halfshotsauce.com and type in the coupon code, seriously, this is it, Donald Hiccups, and save 10% off your hot sauce order.
And also, we'd like to thank the humble grounds of We Could Be Heroes for allowing us to use their edifice to broadcast and to record this audio podcast.
Yes, we appreciate your edifices. all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon,
don't forget to like, subscribe,
yeah,
and comment.
Yes. Yeah. Comment, subscribe, like. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the friendly and always neighborhoodly comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.